rockzone.com.
Welcome to World Footprints Radio, the show where we celebrate responsible travel, culture, and heritage, featuring your hosts, Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick. Now, World Footprints Radio on TalkZone.com.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining us today on World Footprints Radio. Are you leaving positive footprints today? Join us. We're your hosts, Tanya and Ian Fitzpatrick, and we are broadcasting about South Africa today. South Africa is our destination.
Indeed, it's our destination, and the World Cup is going on right now in South Africa, and we're putting a spotlight on South Africa and soccer. And this time it's an organization that's using soccer to transform lives and communities throughout South Africa. The organization is Grassroots Soccer, and it uses the power of soccer to educate, inspire, and mobilize communities to stop the spread of HIV and AIDS. And today we'll introduce, once again, Dr. Tommy Clark, a pediatrician and the executive director of Grassroots Soccer. And then we'll pass the ball to someone who's on the front lines in South Africa for Grassroots Soccer, Phil Johnson, and learn more about his experience in the Rainbow Nation with Grassroots Soccer as he joins us from South Africa. He may even have some insights on the South African national team, best known as Bafana Bafana, and the Vuvuzela, which we'll explore with him, and we'll talk about that some as well. And remember, if you've got a question or comment, write us at comments@worldfootprints.com.
And, of course, as always, we look forward to connecting with you during the week on our social networks, Facebook, YouTube, great YouTube channel we created, and Twitter. And you can find all of those great networks on our website at worldfootprints.com. And another way you can also find us is on our new mobile platform. You can now listen to World Footprints Radio on any mobile device, whether it be a Palm Pre, iPhone, iPod Touch, BlackBerry, Android. You can take us with you on the go just by downloading the World Footprints app from Stitcher.com. That's S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R, and I only spell it because I misspelled it the first time myself.
Yeah, this is such a cool application, and, you know, we aren't necessarily first movers with this stuff, but this Stitcher device is pretty cool, and here's it on an iPod, and it's great quality, and it's just a great way to follow us, whether you've got an iPod, iPad, or listening from your own computer. It's a wonderful thing, and you can go into Stitcher.com, follow the culture and lifestyle category, and look for the traveler, and there you will find World Footprints. Our next guest is using the sport of soccer to do some good in communities in South Africa. Dr. Tommy Clark is a pediatrician and the executive director of Grassroots Soccer, a nonprofit organization that uses the power of soccer to educate, inspire, and mobilize communities to stop the spread of HIV. Born in Scotland, where his dad played for the Scottish national team, Tommy moved to Zimbabwe at age 14. After playing soccer at Dartmouth College here in the States, he returned to Zimbabwe to teach English and play professional soccer. And after several years of playing soccer, Tommy returned to the U.S. where he enrolled in Dartmouth's medical school. But it was his time in Zimbabwe that inspired him to found Grassroots Soccer, and he joins us to talk about his mission, impact, and activities during the World Cup. Tommy, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
This mission of Grassroots Soccer is so amazing to me, and I've always had a passion for soccer, and I like how the soccer ball really creates global ambassadors and creates a way to tie all of us together. Talk about your mission to use soccer to help to stop the spread of HIV in sub-Saharan Africa.
Couple of things, I think. One for me was just what you just referred to, sort of soccer as this cultural glue, mm-hmm. or, you know, a kind of a brotherhood or sisterhood or whatever you want to call it, sort of a something that kind of binds people together. And from my point of view, I grew up, I was in four different high schools in four different years in three different continents. So a lot of moving around. Mm-hmm. And my father, as you mentioned, was a soccer player and then was a soccer coach. And really, you know, I found going from place to place remarkably easy. And the reason was because I played soccer and I had a shared passion. And obviously music and other things can do that as well, mm-hmm. but soccer is a pretty good one. So I think, you know, in one sense, that was the idea. And then having played there, the thing that I noticed and sort of was remarkable was how popular the sport and the heroes were, and also how accessible they were. They were the people that I knew, that I hung around with, that I trained with and played with, and the concept that famous people or people that have social or cultural currency can be important in changing people's behavior. And we know that from advertising and how advertisers or companies like to affiliate themselves with certain athletes or musicians or what have you. And so the same idea that we could use star power and famous mm-hmm. soccer players to make something that wasn't spoken about, and you know, was something that was a silent topic, HIV, to bring that out into the open, mm-hmm. and to kind of create a good environment for an educational program.
Now, what exactly do you do with grassroots soccer? Talk about some of the programs, and I'll say, just from listening to you, I'm really impressed with how cohesive the community of soccer is. I see that sometimes as a traveler, as a scuba diver. You know, we're kind of a unique little group of people. And but soccer, I didn't realize how cohesive that group is. And so I'd be interested in hearing a little bit more about that and just some of the work that you're doing with grassroots soccer.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think in soccer, right, you know, you're always competing against somebody else, but ultimately the game ends and people are sort of, kind of come together in a positive way. In terms of the activities and what the program looks like, it's a really a game-based, it's an activity-based curriculum, and it's sort of the funnest class these kids will have ever had. They're used to a much more didactic style of education where they sit and the teacher lectures and they write down and they take an exam at the end of the year. And so this is generally inside and outside. They're on their feet. They're involved in activities. The activities encourage discussion. We encourage them to think. There's many activities, but say a typical curriculum would be 12. Mm-hmm. But one of the activities would be is called Fact or Nonsense. So it's just really quickly, it's kind of a quiz. It's, you know, the there's teams, maybe teams of four or five, and there's it's a quiz show, and the person in charge, the facilitator, asks a question, and the kids will talk about it in their small groups. And so you start off with easy questions that are not related to sex or HIV or anything difficult, so the kids get in the habit of competing with each other, and it's a competition. And then gradually, as the competition goes on, and you've kind of established that it's a competitive environment, that there's people are discussing, and that's the way to get the answers, then you start putting in harder and harder questions, and people start talking about some of the challenging questions around HIV.
Hmm.
So that would be sort of an example. You know, another example is there's a soccer drill where you dribble in and out of cones, and so it's a team environment. There's teams, they're competing, they're racing in and out of the cones, they're trying to be the first team to all go through the cones and sit down, and that team wins.
Mm-hmm.
But then we start changing the game a little bit. It's that game is called Risk Field, and we say if you go in and out of if you hit the first cone, you know, we ask the kids, what are the risks that the kids your age face? We talk about, you know, alcohol, I talk about sugar daddies, girls having partners that are five or more years older than them, having overlapping partners, not using protection when you have sex. So you start creating all these, and if you hit the cone, you have to do a push-up. And then we talk about, well, in eight, you know, the second time we play or the third time we play, we'll say, you know, with HIV, who's affected? And they say, well, it's not just, they all tell their stories. Well, it's not just the person who gets HIV. It's their family. Everybody else gets affected as well.
Mm-hmm.
They have to care for them. They're extremely sad when their brother or their sister or their son or daughter or their father and mother die, and so they start. So now, instead of doing a push-up, when someone hits the cone, the whole team has to do a push-up. And then we talk about, well, what about the community? Is it just the family that's affected? Well, no, actually, the whole community is infected. You just look around you and see the devastation of HIV. So this time, it kind of goes from this very sort of helter-skelter game where everyone's just dribbling in out of the cones to the end, where if anyone on any of the teams hits a cone, everyone has to drop and do a push-up because it's representing the whole community being impacted by HIV.
Huh.
So it's a really fun game, and it's a competition, but by the end of it, the game is so different, and the kids' perspective of HIV and how it impacts the whole community is very different, and they've had many conversations about it. So the games take a little bit long to explain. Maybe it's just because the way I'm explaining them, but they're really wonderful activities, and they're really great at getting kids thinking, and really thinking about taking action as well.
Yeah, what I find interesting about this is that you use soccer to kind of create the commons, and then through these games and through soccer, you're able to have these conversations and start that dialogue. Talk about some of the things you've got to overcome with the younger people that you deal with in the program in order to deliver the life-saving message.
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, the first thing to overcome is just the sheer number mm-hmm. of young people in Africa and the sheer number of young people at risk. So I think scale is probably one of the most challenging things and the things that I think most about. That's sort of from more of a macro level, and I can talk a little bit more about that, if appropriate. But I think on a day-to-day basis, it depends country to country. In Zimbabwe, one of the big challenges is getting gas. From our team's point of view, is getting gas so we can get to the schools to work with the
mm-hmm.
kids.
Mm-hmm.
From the kids' point of view, these are kids talking. They're talking about a really charged topic, something that's highly stigmatized, and they've certainly had people in their immediate family who've contracted HIV and likely died from it. So it's very, I think for the kids themselves, it's a very emotional, difficult topic. From our point of view, it's challenging in terms of gas, and sort of from the organization's point of view, our goal is to educate a million kids. From our point of view, it's trying to think, well, how do we make sure this program gets to as many at-risk kids as we can?
When we return, we'll learn about grassroots soccer from Dr. Tommy Clark as World Footprints Radio continues.
Aloha! This is Danielle.
Caleb.
Mika.
Calling from Honolulu, Hawaii.
Yeah.
We love World Footprints Radio.